WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
After Bruce Beresford's film Driving Miss Daisy won last year's Oscar for Best Picture, he could have chosen a big Hollywood project for his next film, but instead he chose to direct a small movie set in Africa. Stephen Schiff has a review of Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson whisks us off to Nigeria in the 30s, to a stark rural outpost just barely colonized by the British. Seen through Western eyes, it's a wild place, and the director, Bruce Beresford, brings out the wildness in it. There are ceremonial parades in which hyenas snarl from leashes, and the marching villagers blow weird, noisy horns. When the locals dance and sing, it's always a little stranger and more extreme than we expect. Beresford wants us to see that, faced with the impossibility of understanding this culture, the British can only try to control it. This movie takes place in a world that's very remote, and the smartest man there, and by far the most imaginative, is Mr. Johnson himself. The trouble is, he's a Nigerian, and so the most he can hope for in this life is to be a functionary, highly regarded by the British district officer or his superiors. In ordinary times, there might be nothing in Johnson's existence tantalizing enough to engage his powerful imagination. But in colonial times, there is something. He can imagine Englishness, and so he does. He speaks of himself as an Englishman, and he tells his fellow villagers about how we do things back in Cornwall and Kent, even though they know he's never been there. He wears a British pith helmet and an ice cream suit, and he works for the Brits. First for the dim district officer Rudbeck, played surprisingly well by Pierce Brosnan, and then for the sadistic sergeant who runs the local store, wonderfully played by Edward Woodward. Mr. Johnson is the story of a man whose imagination outruns his circumstances. In the West, he'd be an artist, or a business tycoon, or a politician, but here in Africa, his boundless talents can only get him into trouble, which they do. For instance, he wants to help District Officer Rudbeck build a road, but there's no money to pay the tribesmen to work on it. So Johnson goes to the villages and exhorts their help, promising them free beer now and greater riches later. His speech doesn't work. That's when he sits down with the village chief for a little powwow.
No one wants to work. It's a shame. Then there is no chance to win the prize.
Prize? What is this prize?
The village which clears the most bush gets the prize. £5.
£5? Who gets it?
It is paid to the chief.
Oh.
Of course, Mr. Johnson has just made up that little scheme on the spot. He has no idea where he'll get the money. He only knows he'll think of something, and alas, he does. Maynard Ezeyashi, who plays Johnson, is a Nigerian actor educated in England, and his performance is a wonder. He makes you see that what fuels Johnson is the way he can convert any obstacle or hardship into part of his big dream. He swallows life whole and worries about digesting it later. The director, Bruce Beresford, has become a master at taking messagey, sentimental material and removing the syrup. And he's terrific with actors. The performances he gets from a marvelous cast of Nigerians are breathtaking. A few critics have taken this movie to task because it can't match the ironies of its source material, a novel by the great Joyce Carey. And it's true, it can't. But Mr. Johnson is an accomplishment in its own right. At the movies these days, subtle pleasures can feel like very great pleasures indeed.
Film critic Stephen Schiff writes for Vanity Fair.